Hello, everybody. This is your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter, Dr. Diana Wiley. You know, it's really true. Many older people are not seen as sexual beings. And Joan Price, my guest, is on a mission to dispel this myth. She has written a number of really excellent books, The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, Better Than I Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60, Naked at Our Age, and Ageless Erotica. 2 days ago at Catalyst Con in Los Angeles, I heard Joan speak about the 12 steps to sexy aging. And Joan, you are such an excellent presenter. I'm so glad you're on this program again. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Dr. Diana Wiley. I love talking to you.
Well,
it was such a pleasure to see you right in the front row there. Wow, thank
of
you.
Of course. Taking notes. Because you have so much to say, Joan, and your books and your webinars help you with all of this. Now, as far as your talk at Catalyst Con, and that was 12 steps to sexy aging, I thought we might focus on a few of the steps you talked about: expanding what sex is, exploring and celebrating sexual pleasure, enjoying orgasms with or without a partner, and responsive desire.
Sure.
So those four things, and of course, you and I have a habit of going in lots of different directions. You have given our listeners a nice deal. I'm going to put this all in the write-up, but your webinars are really excellent. So what the listeners can do is to email you, joan@joanprice.com, put Diana Wiley in the subject line, and then you'll give them links to your webinar topics. And the special offer is the 90-minute webinar of your choice for $35, and the usual price is $49, so this is great. There are five to choose from. I'm giving all of this up front, and you and I will fill in the details. Especially
yeah.
You.
May I take a moment to explain what a webinar is, just in case you have listeners that haven't experienced that?
Yes.
So
yes.
Webinar
good.
Is an online class. I have been giving presentations all over the country and, in fact, some internationally, but I can't get everywhere, and plane travel is really fatiguing. The older I get, the harder that is.
Right.
So I wanted a way that I could get the information out there even if I wasn't coming to your area.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I gave five different online classes.
Mm-hmm.
And some people attended them live, but we recorded them. So you didn't have to attend them live. You could just watch it online. And there is a charge, which is ordinarily $49 to view each one. And now it's $35 if you put Diana Wiley in your subject line and you email me, joan@joanprice.com. So that's what's going on there. Five of my most popular topics are now available as webinars.
And those five, thank you, Joan, for that explanation, those five are 7 steps to reclaiming your sexual pleasure, sex toys for seniors,
yay,
great sex without penetration, this is a mystery for some people,
I know,
12 steps to sexy aging starting now, and how the heck do I date at this age?
Doesn't that all sound like fun?
Well, yes, but you have a lot of fans and regulars who really are perplexed. And your books help, your webinars help. I said that perhaps we would focus on expanding what sex is, and that to begin with, and that is one of the things that because sex is usually perceived as penis and vagina, that's one of the things that is flummoxing. Oh, I haven't used that word in forever.
I love that word.
For a lot of seniors. Can you expand on that, Joan? Because I thought that was really, really a good topic at Catalyst Con 2 days ago.
Right. It is to our advantage, really mm-hmm. helps us and delights us if we learn to expand our notion of what sex is. And that means it is not only penis and vagina, PIV, as we say. It is, and it isn't even necessarily anything in vagina or penis in anything. It is a whole array of sexual pleasures that if we learn to see sex as anything that arouses us sexually, that gives us sexual pleasure, that gives us pleasurable sexual sensation, and maybe, though not always, leads to orgasm, then if you look at sex that way, instead of the real narrow, goal-oriented definition, mm-hmm. we can enjoy sex our entire life, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what medical challenges come our way. We have other dishes on the sexual buffet that we can choose from. We don't just have a one-plate special.
That's so important. And in taking notes during your presentation, I thought this was very important. I put an asterisk by it. Mm. Take out the goals. Expand the expression. And that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Take out the goals. Yes.
Exactly. Instead of using the term having sex, I like to say sexual expression, expressing ourselves sexually, which mm-hmm. is because having sex seems to be there's one thing that then becomes sex, and it's usually a goal. Have to have a hard erection. It has to go into a willing and able vagina. Well, that may not be our experience these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, Diana, just give up on sex because they think, oh, I can't do that, therefore sex is over.
That's
no,
right.
It's not. It's an opportunity to explore mm-hmm. what else we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
How can we express ourselves sexually? How can we receive pleasure? How can we give pleasure? With where we are today, instead of just the goal or the memory in some cases of mm-hmm. what it used to be.
Yes, yes. So I'm recalling, let's see if I can lay my hands on this. I think I can. Yes, a study of 106 societies around the world. And this study showed that a large majority, men and women, for a large majority, men and women remain sexually interested and active in late life.
Yeah.
In some cultures, including India, older people, especially women, are free of certain restrictions placed on the young. And by the way, that's why we had some Indian leaders like Indira Gandhi. Because she was over 50 when she was able to lead the country because she didn't have the restrictions anymore, and that includes sexual restrictions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people are a little more free.
But so many of the restrictions are in our own minds, Diana.
Oh, yes.
That's what we need to work on first.
Yes.
Because for most of us, there is no outside force that's preventing us from having great sex. It's something mm-hmm. in our own minds that either that think, oh, no, I can't, I don't want to, I mm-hmm. don't know what else to do if I can't do that. So it starts with us, as everything
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm. It always does, yes. And our culture promotes this, that sex is only for the young.
Don't get me started.
Yes, I want to get you started.
Okay, get me started.
We have an audience here that, and now I want to just say, as long as we've paused, if you're a younger person listening to this program, and I have many, stay tuned, because you'll know somebody older, maybe it's even a mother or a father, and then you can also prepare yourself for the future
Well, that's the thing, that so many of the things, almost everything that I talk about, is equally applicable to young people, but mm-hmm. they don't know that it's important to look at these other options and look at these possibilities, because things are okay just the way they are. But if for example, we're talking about expanding your notion of what sex is, that should start young. It would be nice if that started in our early sex education.
Which doesn't exist in enough places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So young people, welcome. Stay tuned. Because, of course, I hope you plan to get old. And,
yes.
and along the way, you're going to pick up some things that will enrich your sex life right now.
Yes, because many people who are more mature are having really better sex than when they were younger. They're more confident. They're even if their bodies are aging. And I love that you've been called the wrinkly sex kitten.
I love that.
I do too. And so even
and I was called that maybe 12 years ago. I'm so much more wrinkly now.
But you're still a sex kitten, so that's great. But you know, there's a little more acceptance, particularly if one has been aging successfully and staying healthy, and there is just a more of an openness about for many,
yes.
not
yes.
for all.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. And if it's not for some of us, that could be the goal.
Mm-hmm.
The goal could be just to be as open and accepting of ourselves as we can be.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking, oh no, I can't possibly show my partner my pudgy thighs or my wrinkled cleavage.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, if
mm-hmm.
we said, oh, this body is still capable of great sensual delights, and I'm going to share it with you right now. Aren't you lucky?
Oh, that's such a great
I wouldn't say you have to go around pronouncing that, but if you have that in your mind, instead of, oh no, he'll run when he sees me naked. If instead it's, boy, are you lucky? We are going to share these sexual delights.
Yeah, that's right. And, years ago I read Helen Gurley Brown's memoir, The Late Show, and she recounted a story about an older woman who had a lover who needed glasses to see, and she uh-huh. always made sure his glasses were hidden so
that
he was over. Yeah, I think this is too bad because it's not exactly up front, right? But she didn't want him to see her.
On one level, on another, it's very sad.
Yes.
Because many of us are really visual creatures.
Uh-huh.
And we love being able to watch. And for this man to suddenly be deprived of that and say, well, let's just take away one of your senses and see how much you enjoy it. Aren't you having
right.
fun?
Right. Exactly. It's not a good thing. And anyway, a lot of older men also have their own wrinkles and
failings.
They don't
failings. Know that, though, do they? Somehow they, they aren't as self-conscious as women are.
Well, that's true, but women have more body image issues in general.
That's right. Men are more concerned with performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Will the erection work? Will I know how to please her? Will I be able to please her? And will I be able to have an orgasm? Whereas the women in new relationships particularly, but not only that, mm-hmm. are more nervous about, oh, I don't know if I want him to see me naked.
Mm-hmm.
But see,
yeah.
we need to look at where that comes from, Diana.
Yeah,
why
let's
is
talk
it we think
that.
Our bodies are
from?
No longer beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
That's the media. That's
yeah,
our youth-oriented culture. That's the don't get me started part of what
yeah.
we talked about for a moment.
Yeah. The media says that sex is only for the young and for the beautiful, and that's simply ridiculous.
You know, in my view, I look at good-looking young people,
Mm-hmm.
And I think, aren't you lucky you have those you have those genes?
Mm-hmm.
With a G,
mm-hmm.
not with a J.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not in charge of how good they look at that
mm-hmm.
age.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what fate dealt them. I look at a good-looking older person, and by good-looking, I mean, really, let's say a woman is in her body. She's feeling confident. And that and juiciness is feeling confident, I think.
That's right.
She doesn't mince her steps. She prances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imitating that. Can you see me over the phone?
Absolutely, I can. Those knees are coming up high. Of course, you're a dancer. You can do it.
That's right. So much is in our attitude. And the people who turn heads at our age are the confident people.
Yes. Yes. I'm reminded of, it was a small study, but it actually illustrates how overall confidence can affect sexual confidence. And maybe it's a chicken and egg thing. Maybe, you know, who knows what comes first. But in this small study, women who learned to have orgasms consistently and predictably, if they were in jobs they did not like, they quit the job. If
Ooh.
They were in jobs they did like, they advanced. So it really
how
shows...
How interesting.
Isn't that... So it really does show how if you have more sexual confidence, it can impact your overall confidence, but it's probably the other way around, too. Anyway, confidence is key, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm picturing right now some listeners saying, well, I don't feel confident, so how am I going to learn anything from this program? Because
yeah,
confidence
good.
Isn't mm-hmm. something to say, be confident. Oh, okay, got it. Maybe they need to work with someone like you
mm-hmm.
to see what's getting in the way with that. But there are also some things you can do that will help you feel better about yourself,
mm-hmm.
that will help you feel better about yourself sexually. And one of them, and I'm always promoting this, is to have a regular exercise habit.
Oh, yes.
Your body will feel better, look better, and work better.
Uh-huh.
You'll have an easier time getting aroused, an easier time reaching orgasm if you get regular exercise.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
And that means more blood's going to go to your genitals, which if you're an aging person...
Exactly right.
Yeah. That may have diminished some, so you exercise. Yeah, that's right. And you've exercised your entire life, haven't you?
No, just from my late 20s.
Oh, late. Well, that's a long time, though.
I came at it a little later, and I wish I had exercised my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, exercise meant being able to throw and catch a ball. And I was no good at that. I was tiny and chunky and nearsighted. And I still can't catch a ball. You throw something to me, it'll break something behind me. I'm sorry. But if I had had, for example, aerobic dance as an option when I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
I could have changed my life. Or if my parents had given me dance lessons instead of the piano lessons they insisted I take.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, but you know, that my life wasn't like that. So I discovered I didn't ride a bicycle till I was 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find an exercise modality I liked until I discovered aerobic dance at 34.
At 34?
Yeah.
And you're still teaching dance, aren't you?
I teach line dancing now.
Line
the
dancing,
most fun
right.
you can have with both feet on the floor.
Uh-huh. So, but going back to your parents, your father was an OBGYN.
Yes, he was.
And your sex education was surprisingly limited given that your father was an OBGYN. Tell that story, please.
My sex education consisted of being handed a pamphlet. I was probably 12 or 13. I was handed a pamphlet that No, their menstruation pamphlet was at 12 or 13. I think I was probably 14 or so, and I was handed a pamphlet, which was supposed to be my sex education. It consisted of a fairly blurry explanation of how girls got pregnant and a very strong explanation of why you shouldn't do it. That was it. There was nothing about pleasure. There was nothing about excitement.
Nothing and about the clitoris?
Pardon?
Nothing about the clitoris?
Oh, I couldn't even find the clitoris in any of my father's medical books.
Yes. And this
they weren't
was...
even in the medical diagrams. No, nothing. And so I thought that when I was first aroused at the age of 15, kissing my boyfriend, my first makeout session, which was just marvelous, I think we must have kissed for 3 hours, I was so aroused, and I had never heard of it. I never knew that my body would do that. And I thought I was probably the only one. I thought I invented it because there were, I'd never heard of it, and no one talked about it. It wasn't in the pamphlet. And I think now, when I think back, what a dangerous sex, besides being ignorant, how dangerous it was not to teach me about arousal, not to teach me about desire, not to teach me about intimacy and affection, and that that could have, that maybe after I got married I was supposed to be able to experience that. But I was 15 and I was experiencing it. I didn't have sexual intercourse until I was 17. And if you can imagine the 2 years of foreplay, I was really ready for it. But even so, I never had an orgasm with that wonderful first boyfriend. I didn't know how. He didn't know how.
Right.
It never happened. It didn't happen automatically because it doesn't happen through intercourse automatically for most women.
It does not. And we all know now, but 50 years ago we didn't know so much, that sex education really is power. And that's one reason I do this program, Love, Lust, and Laughter, because a lot of it is sex education. When I am a therapist seeing couples, for some of the couples, and in fact, going back to India, I have a number of Indian couples. You know, Microsoft brings over usually the husband. And they really need sex education as well as sex therapy. I've had some Indian husbands not know anything about the clitoris, what it does, where it is, you know, any of that. So sex education is really important. And you're doing it for older people who maybe never got it when they were younger.
Or for whom it's changed now.
It's changed. Yes, let's talk about that, because you did in your talk at Catalyst Con on Sunday. It's changed, and you talk about you have to be ready for the changes as you age.
Yeah, the more you educate yourself, and I'm happy that you mentioned my books, because that's a really good starting place.
Oh, yeah.
The more you educate yourself about what sexual changes to expect and how to address them, then the more ready you will be when some of these actually come your way. It's never too late. I mean, you can go, well, I wish we had that book 10 years ago when it mattered. It matters now. Read it now.
Right.
Because it's never too late. It's never too late to address the challenges that are keeping you stumped right now. So I really, when I was... when I came out with one of my books, I was making a video to promote it, and one of the videographers was a 19-year-old man, and he was the sound guy, and he was working with me and with the fellow on the camera, and at the end I said, so, was all of this really odd to you? And he said, no, I'm really glad I learned it. Because and I said, but you're 19, and he said, yeah. Then maybe I won't need your books when I'm 50.
Lovely, lovely. Oh yes, Yes. This is a young man with some good EQ, emotional intelligence.
Yes.
And can think about his future.
Yeah.
You say in terms of educating yourself about how aging will change you, that includes arousal. And and one of the things that, I certainly have to share with a number of my clients is that for many, especially women and men with low desire, arousal needs to precede desire.
Right.
So in that regard, I say, as homework, just do it. The research suggests that for more than half the population, sexual desire doesn't just happen. This is usually women, but not always. And then most have to be physically stimulated to feel desire. So people who think they need to be in the mood to have sex might, in fact, need to have sex to get in the mood.
That's exactly right. And there is an excellent book written on that topic. I'm sure you know it. Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski.
I'm sorry to say I have not read it, but I've heard about it, and you mentioned it in your talk a couple of days ago, and I'm going to get it. Come As You Are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one of the main things, she does a lot in that book. It's a fabulous book, mm-hmm. especially for people who think they don't feel desire. And they would like to change that. They would like to understand that and change
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things she does is to differentiate between spontaneous desire and responsive desire. Responsive desire is what you were just describing. Get aroused first, and then the desire happens after the physiological arousal starts. Whereas most of us who think that we are not in the mood for sex anymore, it's really because we don't understand that. We don't have the spontaneous desire because the hormones have receded, so that that impetus is no longer driving us. But we don't realize that if we just went ahead and started the physiological arousal, we would then get in the mood and feel desire. And it just works in a different way, and it's so important to understand.
It really is important to understand, and one reason I give my couples some so-called touch homework, where they're not even allowed, or sensate focus homework, where they're not even allowed to have intercourse for the first couple of weeks, where they're touching all these other parts of the body, that helps them expand their sexual responsiveness and realize that sex is not just about PIV, penis and vagina, right?
Yeah. And I teach, as you know, a dating workshop, How the Heck Do I Date at This Age?
Oh, yes, yes.
And one of the things we get to is, okay, suppose this dating thing is working and you've met someone, the chemistry's there, the laughter's there, it's intellectually interesting, and you're thinking this could get to sex, what happens next?
Mm-hmm.
And I always suggest that people who are new to each other sexually spend the first few times or more
mm-hmm.
just exploring each other sexually, learning what to touch, how to bring a partner pleasure without any goal, not a goal of
mm-hmm.
intercourse, not a goal even of orgasm. Just
mm-hmm.
help me know what feels good to you.
Lovely,
and it's wonderful.
Yes.
It's so intimate. I think it's more intimate than going straight to intercourse.
Indeed, and as is kissing for many women and
mm-hmm.
touching, like you're describing, more intimate. Don't you talk about kissing in one of your books?
I probably talk about it.
Oh yeah, you talk about it with Robert.
Yeah,
and the time.
Yeah.
And Robert, for those of you who have not heard a show with Joan Price before, Robert is Joan's late husband who died of cancer, the great love of her life, and she describes him a lot in her books, and it's so sweet. But you said, I can't remember where it was, but you said you and Robert loved kissing it. Oh, that's right, and Kissing in the Dark. You had a game,
yes,
about Kissing in the Dark.
Oh, my gosh, your memory is fabulous. Yeah.
So why don't you describe that, and we'll just expand a little bit on kissing.
Sure. We would kiss and kiss. It was a way to get us calmed down and centered at first.
Mm-hmm.
We would hold each other, and we'd start with not tight-lipped, but fairly closed-mouth kissing.
Yes, soft lips.
Soft lip kissing. And we would just keep kissing that way until our breathing was in sync.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't consciously saying, okay, now how's he okay, I'm going to match it. No, we just would breathe and kiss, and as we kissed, and then gradually opened our mouths, but we weren't doing real sexy kissing yet, just, I really love you kissing. I am so happy to be holding you.
Yes.
And we would kiss and kiss, and our breathing would become in sync. And then once that happened, it seemed that then the arousal would kick in, because somehow the breathing, we're breathing together, and it starts getting longer and harder and more excited, and then we get to, you know, more sexual kinds of kissing. But the kissing part, I don't know how long it lasted. It felt like it lasted an hour. It probably was only a few minutes. But it felt like it was an end in itself.
Right. As was the kissing when you were 15.
Yes, that's
right. And I, you know, we are similar ages, and I can remember making out, necking in a car with a boy, and it felt like a religious experience.
Yeah, I get it.
And you used the word necking in your talk a couple of days ago, and I was reminded of Groucho Marx. He said, whoever called it necking was surely a poor judge of anatomy.
I know. In the talk, I was describing how we were necking, and then I said, wait, does anyone say that anymore?
Right,
and someone called out, making out. Oh, okay. We were making out.
Making out, right. I think a lot of young people don't know that term, necking. Well, now it's evolved. A lot of young people don't even spend time kissing. They go right to hooking up, which means penis and vagina. And I personally think that they're missing a lot. But maybe that's what they want for a hookup. Yeah.
Yeah. In some ways, kissing is more intimate than intercourse, and so they may be deliberately keeping it less intimate. I don't know.
Do you remember years ago, Ann Landers? She had the survey about what women wanted.
I mean, don't remember.
Well, this was like in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And she had a huge readership. She was an advice columnist for those who are younger.
Oh, I know who she is.
Yeah, I know you do. But so the majority of women that she surveyed through her column wanted hugging and kissing more than they wanted intercourse. It was just quite amazing. But back to what got us started on this, that arousal can precede desire. So we need to be touching our partner, especially if one of us, well, the one with the lower desire needs to be touched more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the desire may come up. Now, you also talked, Joan, about enjoying orgasms at least one time a week.
At least once a week.
And we know how good orgasms are for our health.
That's right.
let's talk about enjoying orgasms, even if you don't have a partner.
Yes. Lack of a partner, and many of us don't have partners, is absolutely no deterrent to enjoying orgasms. We are very, very lucky that we can give that to ourselves. And also, thanks to sex toys, it gets easier and easier to give that to ourselves. I hear from way too many people, and especially women, who say, well, I don't really care about sex right now. If I ever get a partner again, then I'll care about it then. And I say, wait, you need to keep yourself in good sexual health now so that if that partner comes along down the road, you'll be able to have sex with that partner. That it isn't just a given. Okay, well, I'm not going to do anything for 2 years, 13 years, and now I met someone and I can. I don't know if you like me to share an example, which is in one of my books.
Oh, yes, I think you should. You did in your talk.
Yeah.
And I could also share examples of what happens if you, this is a use it or lose it kind of story.
Well,
but
that's
please
the
share.
Thing. Mm-hmm. There is a woman who was in her, I think, late 70s. I'm not remembering numbers very well now, but let's say late 70s. She had been celibate for decades, because her husband had died, and she thought, well, he was the love of my life. I'm done with that now. And she went on to other things and didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Then she met a man. She's in her late 70s. He's 80-something. They fell in love. They started spending stolen weekends together. They were very sexual together, except they could not have intercourse because it hurt her too much.
Yeah.
And she was now very concerned about this and went to her gynecologist, who set her up with a set of dilators and taught her how to use them. For listeners who don't know, a dilator is a slim, penetrative object, usually made of plastic, and it's sort of dildo-shaped, but it's not designed to sexually excite you. It's just designed to help you accept penetration. And they come in varying sizes. They can be as slender as a half inch in diameter and then work up to what would be the size of a normal penis. And there are, it's not just, buy the dilators and figure it out. There's a whole program of how to use them and most effectively. And the gynecologist was teaching her how to do that. And she thought, okay, I'll do this, and then I'll be able to have intercourse with my lover. But he died first. He died before she ever could.
Talk about a missed opportunity. Wow.
I know.
And they were so in love, and they wanted the intimacy that can come, no other way when you have a part of his body in her body.
Yeah.
And so that must have felt horrible to her.
It felt horrible. Not only had she lost him, but she had never been able to have that, and she blamed herself. She said, I know now that if I had just continued to masturbate with penetration, either a finger or a sex toy, that it wouldn't have had to get to that. And then when he came along, we could do whatever we wanted.
Yes.
So if we can see that, it's a sad story, but as a cautionary instructive tale.
A cautionary instructive tale. I have for a number of years recommended to women without partners what you do, which is to stay juicy between partners. And that means that if you're masturbating, and here is where sex toys come in so handy, have one sex toy on your clitoris and another in your vagina, a dildo.
Absolutely.
And that will keep the vaginal walls supple because the woman can contract on the dildo. Just like she's doing Kegels, or she can do Kegels at other times, too, to keep her vagina sexy and supple and healthy, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but that's a cautionary tale. Yes, it's very sad. We do need to stay juicy between partners, and some women may never have, some older women may never have another partner, but what are the advantages? I know them, you know them, to keeping our, even without a partner, to keeping our vaginas really healthy.
Well, one thing we do is we keep the blood flow going to the genitals if
yeah.
we continue to masturbate.
Right.
And doing that means that the more we do it, the easier it is to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So for those people who say, yeah, well, it just takes so long now to reach an orgasm that I give up and go grab the Ben and Jerry's. But if you stick at it and if you do it often enough, then
uh-huh.
it becomes easier. And a well-chosen, well-placed sex toy is often the difference between orgasm and no orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
One of my webinars, Sex Toys for Seniors.
I love that title, too.
I have to say that webinar is my favorite of the five I've done, just because
yeah.
it is so much fun, and everyone who views it said they loved it. They
yeah.
not only met some toys they weren't aware of,
yeah.
but they were able to show the webinar to a spouse or a boyfriend
yes.
who had said, what do you mean? You don't need to use sex toys. I should be enough. And they go, just give me 90 minutes of your time and watch this. So it's all about the benefits of sex toys. But not only that, I have about 15 of my favorite sex toys that I show on camera. I hold them up, and I explain what I like about them and who they would be good for. And people inevitably respond when they critique the webinar, which I encourage them to do.
Yes, yes.
They respond, I had no idea there was this variety, and now I know what I want to try.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel really delighted by that webinar. I like how it turned out, and I love how helpful it is for people, especially, though not exclusively, people who don't already use sex toys.
Yeah, it's too bad that some men are threatened by sex toys. Oh, you know, you need this, and then you don't need me. And the reframe is that it can be the man's friend, not a threat. That
oh,
when he
course.
Gets tired, you know, the sex toy never gets tired, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't have wrist arthritis like we do.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Of course, it's the partner's friend. Because what if you say to this partner, how important is it to you that your partner have a good orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's going to say, it's not very important, it's only important that I'm the one to do it? No, he wouldn't say that. He'd
yeah.
say, well, it's very important, and I'm doing my best here. Well, what
exactly.
if your best got a little easier?
Exactly. And years ago, I worked at UCLA's Female Sexual Medicine Center, and we found that women who did not masturbate as teenagers, up until about the age of 25, had way more trouble with orgasm. And the theory is that they did not lay down the neural pathways from the genitals to the brain. And of course, the brain is the site of orgasms, right? So
mm-hmm,
you don't have those neural pathways. So what these women needed, almost without exception, was a vibrator to reach
yeah.
orgasm.
But
so
I don't want your listeners to think
too.
That if they didn't masturbate as young people, that it's too late to learn and to teach your brain.
Well, that's right. But apparently the neural pathways are important. And it might need a little boost from the vibrator.
Right. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. The vibrator can go so much faster than any finger or tongue or mouth
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or penis.
Yeah.
For the woman.
Absolutely.
And we're speaking about women because it's usually women who have trouble with orgasm, not as often men.
Not as often, but as men get older, they have a harder time also.
Well, yes,
problem, as I'm sure you know in the work you do, is that if they are partnered with a woman, she often thinks, well, if I really attracted him, he'd already be excited. Or if he's not reaching an orgasm, he doesn't love me anymore. Something that has nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
And she also may not understand that he needs a lot more touching, just as she does. He does, too. It's not automatic ever ready anymore.
Oh, I like that. Not automatic ever ready anymore. Do you know what happens if you put the batteries in backwards for the ever ready bunny?
What happens, Diana?
He keeps coming and coming and coming. It's not a very good joke, but anyway.
That's all right. It's not your best, but it's all right.
So, yes. And older men may not need to orgasm to ejaculate every time. Dry orgasms, where they can plug into the female orgasmic energy and still have an orgasm.
Right.
But not ejaculate.
Have an orgasm without ejaculation, and even without erection. So for men who can no longer get erections, that doesn't mean they can't have orgasms.
Right.
And that's something that sometimes they discover through masturbation. The partners may have no idea that that's even possible. I've looked at audiences where the women have their eyes with just wide circles going, really? Mm-hmm. And the men go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. In fact, a woman can be performing fellatio on her partner, giving him oral sex, and he can have an orgasm that way, even if he's not erect.
That's right.
Yeah. So pleasure is possible in lots of different ways. And you spoke in your talk a couple of days ago. We've been talking about this overall, but explore and celebrate sexual pleasure. And be sure and ask yourself, what do I like? And you have a blog that's been going for 13 years.
Yes.
And you have lots of women, I suspect, and men who bring up this question. And how do I deal with it? How do I convey what I like to my partner? Because as you said, and I agree with it so much, mind reading is overrated. And what I say is it's like going on a treasure hunt without any clues.
Ah, treasure hunt without any clues. That's good.
Yeah.
Communication, I get a lot of emails from readers who have their own sex questions and they have their issues. I would say 80% of them fall into these categories. Mm-hmm. The old ways don't work anymore, and how do I communicate? And most of the questions are a combination of those two.
Yeah.
The communication is so important and so difficult. One of the things that I recommend to younger people, I hope we still have younger listeners here, is to practice communicating about sex before it's a real big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
get your skills. Learn how to do that. Learn how to communicate in a loving and clear way.
Mm-hmm.
Not blaming your partner for anything that's not happening right, but suggesting what you would like better, suggesting how you would like to be pleased. And one of my favorite phrases for this is suggesting that you go on a journey of exploration to find out what you might like better than what you're doing now.
A journey of exploration to find out what you might like better than what you're experiencing now. Is that what you said?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put that in my summary because that's very important. So I have people that believe in my practice, if you really loved me, you should know.
Well, that's that's sort of
you
stupid,
should know.
Don't you think? I mean, what do, if you really loved me, you'd be able to speak French, right? No, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. How does it make any sense?
It
if
doesn't.
You really love
so
me,
communication
you'll listen
is
to
necessary.
Me. That makes sense. If you really love me, you'll listen to me.
Yeah.
But it's up to us. We need to take responsibility for our sexual pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only ones that can communicate it.
Yeah, because we know our bodies, we know our responses. And some women still believe, it's amazing to me, that the man knows all. Well, he doesn't. And I remember when I was in my 20s not wanting to bring up certain things because I felt like I did buy into that myth because this
like
was so long ago and I was
up? What were you
so
afraid
stupid.
To bring up?
I was afraid to bring up that that I needed more clitoral stimulation.
And how did not bringing it up work for you?
Not at all. I rarely had orgasms.
There you go.
And
then you learned.
I also remember, because this is a long time ago, you know, before I became educated and more mature, I also remember thinking, if he'd compliment my breasts, I'd think, oh, but doesn't he notice my chubby thighs? Well, of course
yeah,
that
isn't
took
that
me
like
out of the moment.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. It
yeah.
is.
So, fortunately, we grew up. Communication is really necessary, of course, especially in the light of the day when you can see your partner's face and subtle reactions. You can say, and I think you touched on this. I know you did. You know, I was reading an article or a book, and I realized there are some things I don't know about what you enjoy in bed. And I want to create that kind of pleasure for you.
Nice.
And mm-hmm. so then you can describe what draws you to him or her and how that makes you feel.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So this is all under the heading of avoiding psychic sex.
Yes, that's right. And
you
I
really
like
love
that you
me.
Gave
you
the
should
example.
Know.
I like that you gave the example of I want to know what pleases you.
Yeah,
because it's hard. It's really hard to communicate. I'd love to try this to please me. We also need to keep your partner in the equation. I'd love to know what will please you more.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way you'd like me to try touching you? And realize you can try new things and decide they aren't what you want. And you just laugh about it and okay, yeah, I thought I'd like that, but I don't. Let's go back to this.
Right.
Don't be afraid to try something new.
Exactly. And you said laugh about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be so important that, you know, if it doesn't work, you just laugh and say, well, you know, we're experimenting here.
If we can laugh at sex
mm-hmm.
and take it seriously, we're going to be miles ahead of where we were. You know, we're taking it very seriously. We're paying attention. We're not laughing at anyone.
Right.
But we can laugh at the moment. We can laugh with a partner at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, I think laughter is sexy too. I don't know what it has to do with neural pathways. Maybe you can tell me. But I find that if I'm really laughing with someone, I feel closer to that person, and I feel more at ease and more likely to be sexually aroused.
Well, I'm not sure we can make connections with neural pathways, but laughter is like internal jogging. So you breathe more, your nervous system is more alert, and we're more relaxed. It's it's a great thing. And if we can be silly, which often is accompanied by laughter, then we can be more vulnerable and share, because being silly with the other requires vulnerability.
Yes.
That knowing that or suspecting that the other person won't laugh at you, back at
right.
you, you know, in laughing with you. And I've always said, Joan, and this is not original, but laughing, couples who laugh together stay together. Yeah, the laughing part, and you describe in your books how much you and Robert laughed together.
We laughed and laughed. We had games. We had wordplay going on all the time.
Yeah.
I have an uncle who is in his 90s now.
Yes.
And he was married to the same woman for 58 years.
Mm.
She died, so they're not together now. But they had the most dynamic relationship that I've ever seen. And I asked my uncle, to what do you attribute this, that this relationship was so dynamic through the whole 58 years? And he said, we never let a day go by without surprising each other.
I love it. Without surprising. And, of course, often inherent in the surprise is laughter, because you know it is a surprise and it's such a good thing, and then you can be like, you can feel like kids again together, oh, we're sharing this joke, or we're sharing this or that, and, oh, isn't this fun?
I know.
Yeah. But your uncle said without surprising each other. Well, Joan, we're coming to the end of the program. I want to say again, and I'll repeat this in the write-up. So your webinars, 7 Steps to Reclaiming Your Sexual Pleasure, Sex Toys for Seniors, Great Sex Without Penetration, 12 Steps to Sexy Aging, starting now. How the heck do I date at this age? So I'll put this up on the summary of today's show.
Thank you.
And Joan, you know, I love you. I think you are the most amazing woman who writes these really great books and the blogs. You really help a lot of people.
The blog is nakedatourage.com.
Yes, nakedatourage.com. And
Diana, I see you as the fiery woman carrying the torch.
Thank you, Joan. I really appreciate it. We'll be in touch. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
Se ti perderai